I turn this, there we go. All right. I have to turn the right switch on, but thank you for that song. That's what we should be willing to do, is to follow him no matter where he calls us. Amen? And I'm so glad you came out again here tonight as we continue to look at the prophecies that are speaking now in our life and in this time, especially right now. Right now. I can't even say that enough because it's as if things are speeding up rapidly. That shouldn't create fear in our hearts. That should create joy in the heart of the believer. And for those who are searching, it's good news. Something is about to change. Something big is about to happen. Jesus is soon to return. Bursting through the sky at supersonic speed, and everyone will know it. Just a question here tonight for all of you before we begin. Did you mark off on your cards when you came in? Did you do that? I hope so. If you didn't, check off, make sure in the lobby. Did they have the cards out there, by the way? All right, good, all right. Because if you come to 9 different meetings, we'll have one of these books for you, Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ. And I'll tell you, Lee's discovery as an atheist journalist and ended up converting and becoming a believer. It's just a powerful, powerful story. Jesus is one of a kind. One in 100 billion, 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 billion. Isn't that good news? Nobody else like him in the universe. He's God, he's creator, he's savior. He's Lord, he's friend. Jesus said in one point of the Gospels, he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Do you believe that? Our God calls us a friend. And of course, he gave his life for us that we might live with him for eternity. Tonight, we're going to look into the background of why in the world he had to become our Savior. Why in the world he had to become the sacrifice for sin. We're going to look at the reason for that tonight. But before we begin that, let's pray again, shall we? Let's bow our heads as we seek the throne of grace. Father in heaven, tonight again, it is a privilege to talk about Jesus. To talk about the best friend in the universe, your Son. And Father, of course, we know you love us too. For you loved us enough that you sent your Son to be our Savior. You love us enough to send us the Holy Spirit to represent you and to be present with us now. And tonight, Father, as we open this word as to the beginning of the conflict which we have been a part of all of our lives and which this planet has been a part of for thousands of years, I ask tonight, Father, that you will speak through my inadequate lips and through the hearts of each person listening. And may we love you more, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All of you are aware of the big universe and aware of that film that came out many years ago, Star Wars. The Star Wars trilogy, 1976, 77, somewhere in there. And the film begins a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But it's based on a true story of a conflict which took place in the universe in a galaxy far, far away many, many, many millenniums ago. And that story tonight is the story we are going to focus on because it's a true story. It's the true story of the conflict that began and the story of the salvation that is coming to us as a people waiting for Jesus to return. And so Star Wars, even though it's been on cinema, it is based in reality on a true story found in the Word of God that we call the Bible. Do you believe that? It's amazing how many things are based upon that story, that true Star Wars, which took place in galaxies far, far away. We have Star Wars, of course, and there was Lion King, and there's Superman, and all these themes run so similar to the story we find in the Bible about a conflict which began eons ago. There's reality to the fiction on the screen. And tonight we're going to look at that reality. Is that exciting? To see what took place in a galaxy far, far away from here. We're going to look at the Bible tonight. We're going to see what the Bible says to give us a clear picture as to what we are dealing with, as to why we have a sin problem, why we need a Savior, why we need Him to come. We're going to be looking at our Bibles. The words of Scripture will be on the screen so we can move rapidly. But again, as I told you last night, I want you to check these things out. I don't want you just to believe me because I'm telling you that or because Pastor Tom is telling you something. You check out the Word. You have it. It's available in more translations and languages than at any other time in history. It's available to us. And we as a people need to be open to checking these things out because I tell you what, Jesus warned us some 12 times. He warned us some 12 times, let nobody deceive you. So if deception is possible, we need to be able to check these things out. Do you believe that? Hope you don't mind if I sit again. That's very comfortable. And I hope that we can just talk here tonight as we open God's Word and see the bigger picture of things. This is a battle for the throne. And it began eons ago in a galaxy far, far away from us. The battle for the throne of the universe. And so tonight we look into the Scriptures and we discover two players. Two players in that battle. One player who loves us and one player who hates our guts. And when we understand the background to this conflict, everything opens up. Everything becomes sharp and clear. And we discover that we are not pawns, but that we are victims of this war, but we are also children who our Savior is eagerly trying to rescue. And I just realized I left one of my illustrations in the car. And Dave, where are you? I'm going to give you my keys, and I'm going to have you go out and get that illustration, because when I get to that point of the story, I'm going to need it really, really bad, and it will otherwise botch up everything here. You know what it is? You know what it is? Okay. And don't bring it up to the stage till I tell you to, all right, because I don't want to blow it. If I had forgotten this, my daughter would have, Daddy, you did what? It's amazing how sharp six-year-olds are, you know? And boy, what a blessing she is. What a sharp little girl she is. And I'll be telling you more about her later on this week. But she knows that there's two sides to this conflict. And she told me, she says, Daddy, you better talk about Jesus when you're there because he's the good side. Isn't that right? And she says, the other guy, he's the bad guy. And there's always good and bad. There's always those themes in history. And it comes from this story we're going to look at tonight, good and bad. The white hat, the black hat. Lone Ranger, the black guy. You know what I mean? This story runs predominantly through this history. And understanding tonight will make everything clear between the two sides. You see that other side, which was an angel of unsurpassed brilliance and light and glory, became the arch enemy of Christ Jesus. The name Satan means enemy. Now some of you, well, we'll get to there later, but this is a true story. It is the background to everything that we deal with. And we look in the Scriptures tonight for a clear understanding. And war broke out in heaven. In where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. War began where? In heaven, of all places. What in the galaxy is going on? I can't say what in the world is going on. What in the galaxy is going on? That there was war in heaven. That Satan and his angels were cast out to the earth. Do you remember the storyline in Superman? And there was a kind of a conflict in wherever they lived. I don't know what the place is where they lived at, but... Pardon? Krypton, that's right. There was a fight there, and a group of them were expelled off the planet, and they floated off into space in some record cover or something. And then somehow the record cover burst, and they got out, and they were trying to create all kinds of havoc, and then... The guy in Krypton sent his baby son to Earth. I mean, it's so close, yet so far from the real story. There was a real enemy who took a third of the angels from heaven, and they came to Earth. And we've been dealing with it ever since. But it's a true story. That angel of brightness, whose name was Lucifer, and we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, the background to this whole display of war and hatred. How you have fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, and I want you to notice now these scrolling words. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. How many I's did you count in there? At least five. Way too many. This angel had an eye problem. Not a vision problem, an eye problem. And is that not a problem we see in our own culture and our own society, that it's all about me, right? And about what I need and my wants and my hopes and my dreams. I will be like the Most High. Excuse me. This angel of light wanted to push God off his throne and take the center of the universe. When you discover that eye problem raising itself up in your life and in your family, remember where it comes from and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Get rid of the eye problem. Because that eye problem will only ultimately destroy you and me. Because the God of the universe, rather than having an eye problem, came to earth to be a redeemer and to save us. And he focused on us, the rebels. What a savior. And oh, how sad that Lucifer, son of the morning, son of the dawn, came Satan the enemy, the archdemon. You see, he was the chief angel of heaven. He was beautiful in all his creation. Perfect. Perfect in mind, perfect in action, perfect in form, perfect in praise. But he began to notice that the one called Michael, the archangel, seemed to have a place above him. Michael, who I believe clearly out of scripture we can discover was the name of Jesus before the fall. Now some might say, well, how do we have that? How do we have Jesus the archangel? It didn't say he's an angel. He's the archangel, the leader of the angels. That's what archangel means. Was Christ not the leader of the angels? Was he not the creator of the angels? Not an angel himself, but the leader of them, and the second person in the Godhead, and Lucifer became jealous. Well, how come I can't have that position? How come I can't get into the council about creating things? Look at myself compared to all the other angels. I'm splendid. And these thoughts began to roam through his mind. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 and following, we read these words of Scripture. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, and turquoise, and emerald, with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes, was prepared for you on the day you were what? He was what? Created. There's the difference between him and the Son of God. He was created. Now, if you as children of your parents are created or procreated by them, are you greater than them? No, you're dependent upon them, right? In fact, babies, when they're born, they need a mom and dad to take care of them right from the start. They can't do anything for themselves. They need to have mother feed them. They need somebody to change their diapers. They need to have somebody to put clothes on. They can't do anything. Who do they dare say, well, I'm, you know, in charge? No. I'll never forget when Michael, my firstborn, was born. He was just a few hours old here at Douglas Community Hospital just down the road, which is no longer there now. But he was born, he was about 2 hours old, and I was holding him in my arms and looking at the sweet little boy. And I don't know what I said to him, but all of a sudden he stuck out his bottom lip. And he pouted. And I looked at him, I said, who taught you that, you little sinner? From the very beginning, he was already strongly independent, but in need of my care, although he was challenging it already. Where do we get this? It goes back to this story. You were prepared from you from the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I. Who's the I there? God. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways. From the day you were created till iniquity was found in you, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your what? Beauty. He became proud of himself. Because of your beauty, he became puffed up. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground, and I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 17. Here is the beginning of the issue. His self-elevation in his mind, and going to the other angels and saying, well, why is the Son of God higher than me? Why can't I be just as equal with him? Aren't I just as splendid? He began to put doubts in their hearts, doubts in their minds. He began to expound his own profane thoughts. You know, we call it now gossip. We call it twisting the truth, spinning a lie. It wasn't cute in heaven, and it's not cute here. It's not cute then, and it's not cute now. It won't exist in his kingdom. And we need to ask him to cut that part of us out now so that we can inherit his kingdom. Do you believe that? God, forgive us for the things we say about each other, and for the things that we say about our Savior and our leader. It's an ugly scar, and there in heaven's glory, the Son of God began to talk to Lucifer. Lucifer, I hear the things you've been saying. I'm hearing the misrepresentation you're giving about my character and the character of my Father. And he explained it to Lucifer. And Lucifer, for a time, was willing to repent. And so a council was called together, and all the angels were called together, and it was explained to them what was happening. And Lucifer was cooperative for a while, but then that jealousy raged up again, and he began to spread those rumors and lies again. And it turned finally into war, as it says in Revelation 12. I don't know if it was a war of fists or weapons or missiles or whatever. It was just a war of words, but it evidently became a conflict, that there was war, and the conflict finally had to be ended, and God had to throw Lucifer out. He didn't destroy him. Did you notice that? He did not destroy him. I tell you, had it been us, nuke him. Nuke him till he glows, you know? But he cast him out to let this rebellion manifest itself. Jesus himself said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Luke 10:18. And if you and I believe that Jesus is indeed God, and if he's Savior, and that he's the one of a billion, 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 like nobody else in the universe, then you've got to believe his words. I saw Satan fall like lightning from where? Heaven. That's a true testimony from the Son of God himself, and we can't lay it aside. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This prince of light who became a dark demon of anger. You see, Satan is real. And we need to recognize that. He's not just some red devil from Star Wars. He's not some cutesy little devil with a tail and a pitchfork. He's real, and he's angry. I don't understand why somebody would dress their baby up like this. Do you? I mean, what in the world? He is no playful little red-suited baby. He is far from deviled ham. And he's far from a pitchfork cutie little cartoon. He's far from devil's food cake. You notice how they name these things after the devil, Devil's Lake? What in the world? You see, he hates you. He hates me. And he's real. I remember one time years ago, I was working here in Roseburg for an attorney downtown, and I was talking with one of the secretaries, and I mentioned the devil and Satan. She says, you really believe he's real? I says, well, don't you? You go to church? She says, well, my pastor tells me it's just a story. I said, no, it's a true story. She says, there's really a devil? I said, yes, there is. He really tempts people? I said, yes, he does. Does he sit on our shoulder? No, he doesn't sit on your shoulder, but he's real. She didn't know that. Do you know how many people don't know that? Do you know how many people think the devil is just this cutesy little thing that, you know, we talk about? No, he's real, and his intent is to destroy you and to destroy me and to deface the name of the Son of God. He's angry. And you know why he's angry? Because he's defeated. Isn't that good news? He's defeated. So whenever you're tempted to say, well, the devil made me do it, remember you're giving credit to somebody who's defeated. Lift up your chin and realize that the Son of God has defeated him. Notice Revelation 12:12. But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's angry. He's trying to get back at everybody. He's the ultimate loser. All losers want to bring everybody else down with them. You got to cave into that kind of pressure? Are you? I'm not. He's at war with Christ. He's at war with the universe. He's at war with all of us. Did God create this earth merely as a dumping place for Satan? We're going to discover the love of God and the fact that he's allowed Satan to live this long. You see, God created man in his own image in pristine glory. He designed this earth to be a place of wonder and beauty and peace. Genesis 1:28, he gave man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This world as it was created was to be our homeland, to be a gift to man. And yet Satan in his anger and in his jealousy tried to steal it from mankind. He took the woman and he tempted her by a tree. And it's a true story. It's not just a myth. A tree that man was told he should have no part of the fruit of that tree. And she wandered by that tree one day, and there in the tree was a serpent, and it looked to be talking. And she was fascinated by it. And the serpent was telling her, "Didn't the Lord God tell you that you could eat of every tree in the garden?" And she got into conversation with this beautiful creature. I don't know why they consider it beautiful. I hate snakes. I know it was a serpent with wings, and maybe it was beautiful, but I don't know. That she got enticed by it, and she began to have a conversation. And you shouldn't have a conversation with something that's not supposed to talk. But she's talking with it, and she's entranced. And she said, "We may eat of the tree of the we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." First mistake, she shouldn't have been talking to him. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, "You shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die." First of all, she twisted some things there. God had said nothing about touching it, although she should have stayed away from it. But if you ate from it, you would die. And the serpent told her a lie. "You will not die." So now she's continuing to listen. She's met the Creator. She's seen God face to face. She's walked with him daily in the garden. And now she's talking to a serpent who's telling her, "You will not die. Listen to me. Don't listen to God." You know, many times we play around with sin. We just want to take a peek. We just want to look at the situation. We just want to, you know, kind of get a perspective. When we know that it's something that can hurt us. It's happened with perfect Eve. It's happened for us. We had to learn from our mother, right? To walk away. To not look. To not be enticed. And the serpent looked back at her and he said, "You'll not die." He says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be what? Like God, knowing good and evil." Here's another, again, one of his lies. You will be like God. It sounds so common to things we hear today. You will be like God. It's a philosophy that they call new, but it's as old as the earth itself. You will be like God. Your eyes will be opened. Yeah, we're made in his image. But we're far from like him. We are sinners, and Eve was being sucked into the trap. The devil is a deceiver and a liar from the start. And because of that fall, we as a human race have been caught in this web of sin. She took the fruit. She ate it. And indeed, immediately her eyes were like, "Oh, that was wonderful." You ever heard of cannabis? Ever heard of weed, marijuana? You take it in, I guess, and your eyes are open, so wonderful. But it's a gateway to a downhill slide. It always feels good the first time. A sheriff in Polk County, Yamhill County, where we used to live, a good friend of mine, Sheriff Crabtree, he said, "Lynn, if you ever tried meth the first time, it would be wonderful." He said it would be exotic. And so you'd try it again, but it wouldn't be quite as good, and so you'd take a little bit more. And that wouldn't be quite as good, and you'd take a little bit more, and he says, you would be hooked from day one. He says, and it's never as good as it was the first time. He says, and that's what's hooking young people. That's what's hooking people on meth, and it is ecstatic to begin with, but then it slowly destroys them until they look like beat up old people with teeth missing. He said, you tell your young people that. I said, I will, Sheriff Crabtree. He said, I'll take you over to the jail. He took me over to the jail. He gave me a tour of the jail. He says, you know what most of these guys are in here for? He said, meth and cocaine and hallucinogens and drugs. And it all starts with simple things like alcohol and marijuana. I tell you, Sheriff Crabtree was a wise man and a good friend. He says, I'll bring your eighth grade class over here sometime. I'll show them what it's like here behind the bars. It's just that one little slip up, that one little tantalizing experience. And if you've experienced what I'm talking about, praise God you're here tonight. And if you're tempted, stay away. And praise God that Jesus Christ can release us from all those things which would destroy us. Can you say amen to that? What a Savior. And yet that enemy hates us. He wants to destroy us. Many times we see storms on this earth. We see tragedies. And many times these events, when you try to turn them over to insurance, they look at these events and they look at these tragedies and they have a name for it. They have a name for it and they call it an act of God. And so your insurance company turns you down and rejects the claim. It's an act of God. My friends, it's not an act of God. It's an act of the devil. Let's get it right. It's an act of the devil. He's angry and he wants to destroy and he wants to hurt. I'll tell you tomorrow night about that plane that crashed in the Sierra Madre Mountains of Mexico. That plane that I was in. That plane came down because the devil was angry at the five of us missionaries in that plane. And he wants to destroy and he wants to hurt. And so why would we want to ever play with him? And there I'm on the respirator with my good friend Steve Case by my side. I'm in a coma there, as you'll hear tomorrow night. I was 24 years old at the time. My heart nearly stopped that night. My mother wrestled whether to call my father here in Roseburg. And then she realized he couldn't get down here fast enough anyway. And so she prayed for me that night, and I lived. Praise God. And Dad finally flew down. Many, many of you have loved ones that have been in the hospital. Maybe they're in the hospital right now. Maybe they're on life support. Maybe you know some child who's had cancer, who's going through treatment. Maybe you know somebody, or no, maybe you don't know somebody like this in Africa who's sick and suffering and withering away. Children with all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. Children in places like Iraq where their whole city's been bombed and destroyed. Places like Gaza Strip, children are affected. The Twin Towers, who can forget that? 9/11, do you remember where you were that day? Of course we do. What kinds of events? Who causes these kind of events? ISIS and tragedies across the world. Who causes these kinds of misery? Who causes this kind of pain across the planet? Satan himself, it's the enemy. And so the question might be asked, then why did God let them choose to disobey? Why didn't he just program Adam and Eve to obey from the start? Dave, are you there? I know you got it. There he is. All right. There's my firstborn, the one who pouted at me. The one who stuck his little lip out. Oh man, you even disguised it, man. You're good, Dave. Dave and I graduated together at Milo Academy. I'm so glad he's here. Did you hear him preach several weeks ago? Wasn't that a remarkable story of God's deliverance? Whose sweater is this, by the way? My sister's, okay. Why didn't God just make babies like this one? Like robots that could be programmed. Isn't she cute? Isn't she lovely? This is my daughter's doll. And she let me bring it. And I gotta turn this on here. I gotta turn the switch on. This doll is so lovely and so perfect and never makes a mistake. And here's a picture of my daughter when she was a baby. I mean, they're beautiful, but they cry and they mess. But this one is perfect. Just perfect. I mean, how sweet. Did you hear what she said? Hand.
Hold my hand.
Here's my favorite.
Now.
But kissing this little plastic doll is not the same as kissing my daughter.
Cubby.
Oh, sorry. I tickled her again.
Foot. Tickle my foot.
And as perfect as this baby may seem, and as programmed as she may be, she's not a real baby. It just doesn't feel right. Who's a mother out there? I need a mother. Who would be a mother? Judy, would you come up here? You're a mother. Judy from McMinnville.
Cubby.
You've held babies. You've held grandchildren. I want you to hold this one and tell me if it feels the same, all right? Turn around and face everybody.
Oh,
just does she feel good? Kiss her. Give her a kiss on the lips. It's beautiful. Now push the mouth. Push the mouth, and she'll kiss you. Push it hard. Okay, now kiss it.
Oh, she did.
Is it the same, though?
No.
No, it's not the same. And that's why God didn't take away the choice from us. He didn't make us robots. He made us living, moving, choosing human beings. Aren't you grateful? That's why he gave us choice. That's why he allowed us, perhaps, to rebel, because only when love is given from the heart is it true love and obedience. We can't be robots. Jesus Christ, our Savior, willingly died for willful sinners who willingly can come to him for forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer and to hurt and to bleed and to put up with the pain that we have caused. Jesus understands what rejection is like as he cried on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The rejected Christ became our Savior and who rose from the grave. And hallelujah, he rose from the grave. And hallelujah, he indeed is coming again to earth to redeem us and to make us as we were from the very beginning, perfect in every form and way. What a Savior. What a God. And notice the final event which he is calling us to participate in. We see in Revelation chapter 14, three angels flying in the midst of air. And we read there, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and saying with a loud voice, megaphone voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water. You see, the hour of his judgment has come, and it's building and it's approaching, and soon it is to end when Jesus Christ comes again in the sky of heaven. And you and I, one of those angels, have been called to give that message of repentance to a world in desperate need to know the Savior. Tomorrow night I will tell you the full story of my crash and being rescued and coming into San Diego at Mercy Hospital and being wheeled in on a gurney. And I'll tell you of God's amazing grace in my life and talk to you more as to why bad things happen to good people. Why do bad things, and how can we face life when bad things happen? We're going to talk about that tomorrow night, because there's a greater answer to this as we understand the conflict. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the Savior of the world, and he is in process of beginning the rescue plan that we have been waiting now for 2 millenniums for. We are now at the very edge of the kingdom. Do you believe that? And soon, very soon, we will hear the trumpet sound. Lift up the trumpet. Loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Ryan, I got your name right this time. I called him Sean this morning. That's my cousin. Ryan and Fontaine, come up here again and play for us on your trumpets to remind us of what we have to look forward to. You can give him a hand for that, all right? They came up with that improvisation this afternoon. Jesus indeed is coming again. And now that you understand the conflict and the background of the conflict, it makes more sense, doesn't it? Why God has allowed us choice and why we can choose tonight and every night to follow Jesus, the Savior of the world, the best friend the universe ever had. As we close tonight, would you stand as we pray and call upon him who is our Savior tonight in a joyful attitude? Father in heaven, tonight again we are reminded of a Savior who loves us. And indeed, Jesus is coming again. Father, I pray that you would be with each person that's here tonight. Send them home with safety. And bring us back again tomorrow night to continue this journey. And I pray in the name of Christ Jesus that indeed we will choose to follow you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I'm going to be spontaneous here. Do we have a pianist?